type of Christ in his ministry of grace in life, and as the man of God behaving himself as God's representative, as an acting God.
It's a relatively long outline, and actually in this message can be divided into two parts. First part is the first half of the outline. Talks about Elisha being a type of Christ in his ministry of creating life. The second half is Elisha as a man of God behaving himself as God's representative, as an acting God. So Roman numeral 1 says Elisha is a type of Christ in doing miracles of creating life. And actually there's two prophets in the Old Testament. They share similar names, right? Elijah with J and Elisha. SH. So on Monday, day one, page 52, there's a short portion describe the differences between these two prophets. It says, as a prophet of condemnation, Elijah, with J, was a type of John the Baptist, who rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees, even calling them offspring of vipers. But Elisha came after Elijah, and was the continuation of Elijah. So Elisha is the type of Jesus. So the difference between Jesus and John Baptist is Jesus is a sweet and pleasant prophet, the prophet of blessing. And actually in this message, the brother pointed out that there's quite a few verses in Gospel of Luke that talks about Jesus is pleasant, sweet, and full of compassion, right? We just covered, like Shepherd just brought out the verses in Luke 15:20. Yes. Our God is God full of compassion. Yes. So in Luke 1:78 says, because merciful compassions of our God, in which the rising sun will visit us from on high, and continue on 6:36, be full of compassion, even as your Father also in full of compassion. And there's quite a few examples in Luke. It talks about there's some example that shows the Lord full of compassion, and he healed the people, he resurrected the people, and he just supplied his people, his disciples. For example, in Luke chapter 7, when the Lord saw the a man who already died, and his mother was crying so hard, and the Lord just moved of compassion and then healed the one who is dead and resurrected him. And also in 15:20, right, when a prodigal son shows up, he wanted to return to father's house, and father was moved with compassion.
Amen.
And then even ran to the son, right? So then in Roman numeral 1, it describes what the Lord is, full of compassion, sweet and pleasant, and he is the prophet of blessings. And in point B, he says that Elisha is typed in the Old Testament, would be representing God's New Testament economy in grace. So actually, grace, this term has been brought out like throughout the messages, trainings, a lot of time. It's because it's very important for New Testament believers to receive the grace for God's eternal economy. And continue the burden from Thanksgiving conference, we need to receive the divine dispensing. In other words, we need to receive this grace. God already prepared the grace for us. And I really like point one under point B. It says grace is God doing everything for us by giving himself to us as our enjoyment.
Amen.
Actually, I was helped by this point a lot recently, the past few months. You know, when I was preparing and speaking, actually, I have quite a few opportunities with this past semester to speak for the Lord. But every time when I need to speak, I just got easily to be nervous, be anxious, because I did not want to frustrate the Lord. I want to be a proper speaker, but the Lord here, he used this point to remind me that I need to receive the grace, and I need to believe he is the one doing everything. He is the one speaking inside of me, and all I need to do is just simply enjoy him. So this time I try to practice that before I enter into the outlines or in the messages, I try to just enjoy the Lord. It's open to Him. Lord, I open to You. I enjoy You as a grace. In me, I turn to my spirit. So only by this, we can really enjoy Him as a grace. Enjoying Him, doing everything for us. So from point C all the way to point I shows us how Elisha is a type of the is a type of Christ in his ministry of grace in life. So in C, it tells us a story in Old Testament that Elisha put some salt in the water so to heal the people in the Jericho. And it's the same principle in Matthew that the Lord changed the water into wine. So the principle here is changing the death into life. Yeah. And point D, Elisha calling the things not being as being. He produced some oil in the empty vessels. The Lord did the same thing in Matthew, right? He fed the 5,000 with just a few fishes and loaves. Yeah. He called the things not being as being. And point E, Elisha resurrecting the dead from death, giving life to the dead. The Lord, in chapter 7, Luke, He resurrected the men, right? And actually, throughout the ages, the Lord already resurrected millions and millions of people, including you and me.
Right.
We were crucified with the Lord, and now we are alive again. Amen. So this is the Lord. What the Lord is doing right now, He's resurrecting us, millions and millions of people. And F, Elisha's nullifying the poison of the wild gourds with flour. Same principle in New Testament. The Lord healed His disciple, the leaven of the Pharisees, with Himself as real, fine flour. And point G, it talks about Elisha causing the axe head that had fallen into the water to float by means of a wooden stick, signifying the Christ recovering through His cross in resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. There's an H. H says, Elisha performed miracles and divine healing for others, but in the will of God. He didn't heal, he was not healed by the miracle. You know, it's the same principle as the Lord. When He was on the cross, He didn't save Himself, right?
Yes.
Because He needs to follow God's will.
Amen.
He saved a lot of people, but He didn't save Himself. And the same principle in our Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul and his co-workers were under this, actually it's the disciplines of the inner life. There's a story that the apostle, they didn't heal Timothy concerning his stomach, right? It's because they want to follow the inner life within them. And the point I, Elisha was deceived in his body, yet still ministered in the spirit of enlivening one of the dead. So whenever the dead body touched Elisha's dead body, and there was resurrection there. So now, whenever we touch the Lord, we touch the resurrection life. So whenever we feel death, whenever we feel we need a life, we just turn to our spirit, turn to the Lord inside of us, and we will be enlivened. Okay, that's Roman numeral 1. And Roman numeral 2 shows us some examples that who are the representative of God, as actually the second half of this message. It says like Moses, Samuel, and Paul, Elisha, they were a group of people that behaved as God's representative, as an acting God on earth. So we know Moses in the Old Testament, Exodus, you know, he was a representative of God. When he talked to Pharaoh, actually it's God inside of Moses talking to Pharaoh. So when Pharaoh dealing with Moses, talk to Moses, actually it's God dealing, or Pharaoh dealing with God. And point B talks about Samuel. And Samuel, we have covered Samuel like a few months ago. Samuel was also a God man, right? Because not only his spirit and his heart with God were one. You know, not merely the spirit, but also a heart. The Lord doesn't want to be merely confined in our spirit. He wanted to spread into our heart. He wants to make himself in our heart. So that's a point one under B says that Samuel could be acting God, could be the acting God, because his being and God's heart were one. And point C talks about the example in New Testament. It's Apostle Paul. He's also a man of God. And in day five, portion in day five, there's a verses here, Philippians 1:20-21. Paul said that, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I will be put to shame, but with all boldness, as always, even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. For me, to live is Christ. So the outline says that Paul's living actually is Jesus lives again on earth. And brother's burden here is that all the New Testament believers, including you and me, we can be the same as Paul in functioning as the acting God.
Amen.
You know, sooner or later, all the New Testament believers will be transformed, will be conformed into God's image, even after the millennium, 1,000 years after. All the believers will be mature and will be co-kings with the Lord. But why not now? Right? Brother's burden is that, why not now? Now we have the opportunity to turn to the Lord, to receive this grace, to receive this divine dispensing, so that now we can be the acting God, to represent God.
Amen.
That's Roman numeral 2. And here we come to a conclusion, Roman numeral 3. Actually, this is a process that God, his desire, he wants to make us the same as he is. Not in the Godhead, but in life and nature. So that's why it's interesting. That's why he became a man, so that we can become God.
Yes.
So that's a mutual process. So Roman numeral 3 says that as God's chosen, redeemed, and regenerated people, that's us, right? Who are one with God, constituted with God, live God, express God, and move with God, and represent God. Women functioning as the acting God. This is God's desires, right? In point one under B, God's economy is to dispense himself into our being, so that our being may be constituted with his being, to be one constitution with his being. Now, the more we become the same as God in life and nature, the more we become truly human in Jesus. I really appreciate this point.
Amen.
You know, in Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his image. So when we are one with God, actually, we are truly in the image of the Jesus.
Amen.
This is really on God's heart.
Amen.
And so there's quite a few terms, like be constituted with God, live God. That's point C. So Father point out the verses in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith is Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Amen.
And brother's burden here is that we are not encouraged to try on our own to live God. We really need to just open to the Lord. And one practical thing I have experienced is that, you know, before to live, there's a crucifixion. You need to be crucified. Without being crucified, we cannot live again with the Lord. We cannot live God. So whenever we want to live God, we need to be crucified with the Lord.
Amen.
So whenever I have the concept that I want to live with the Lord, I need to be crucified first. My old man, my old concept, my natural man need to be crucified so that we can live God. We can be resurrected with the Lord. Point D says we should express God. So we have spirit. The function of spirit, actually, it can be likened as spiritual stomach. As a stomach is absorbing something, right? So the spiritual stomach is where the organ we absorb God. And for the soul, brother here, mentioned that there are two functions of our soul. One is to enjoy the Lord, and second is to express Christ. So when the divine element, when we absorb in our spirit, spread into our soul, then there's a time we express God. So I was so touched that the divine life needs to spread, needs to permeate into our soul so that we can express God. And point E, it says that those who express God, we should move with God. And moving is not always comes first. We need to express God first, and then we'll move with God.
Amen.
And then after we move with God, point F, we should represent God. In order to represent God with authority, we must express God in life. And point G, the last point, if we are one with God, constituted with God, live God, express God, and move with God, represent God, we can function as an acting God. So the key takeaway for me at this message is I need to have the same life as God so that I can represent Him. For example, if you want to inherit a kinship, except like revolution or something like in history, you need to have the same life as a king, right? You need to be the descendant of that king. And the Lord Jesus is our king, and in order for us to be the co-king with the Lord, in order for us to represent Him as a king, we need to share the same life with Him. And the life right now is in our spirit. So in our daily life, we really need to practice, exercise, turn to our spirit, and live this life to spread into our soul so that we can be a proper expression of the Lord. Amen. I think I will stop here. Just open up for the saints to share what's your enjoyment throughout this week.
Amen. I really appreciate Brother David. He's really working hard on this outline. This is a marvelous outline. If you went to the seminar, you cannot get this outline. I say the point. We call Elisha. What do you mean that Elisha in the Hebrew? We call Elijah. What do you mean that Elijah in the Hebrew? Eli means my God. Jah doesn't mean save. Jehovah. That means during that time he talked to everybody. Jehovah is my God. It's not the idol, it's my God. Jehovah is God. What do you mean that Elisha? Elisha is my God, Eli. Sa. My God is my salvation.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. Only our ministry, you see, from this outline is priceless. Amen. He point out 7. He just show us that Old Testament Elisha just type our New Testament Jesus Christ. Wow. From the it's a miracle. Miracle, actually, our recovery is the best. He tells us it's a sign. You see, how many signs Jesus showing in the Gospel of John, 12 times, showing the miracle sign. What's the first one? Jesus talked the first one. He came to the wedding. He changed that water, the part of that water, to become the living wine. Wow! Changed everything. What's the first one? This is the John mentioned. This is the first miracle. Now how about Elisha? Put together, you see the first miracle, you see the sea. You read. Wow. Can we read the sea? Roman 1, sea. You see the second. Can you find it? It's very important. Significance.
The miracle performed by Elisha, healing the water in Jericho, and of the miracle performed by the Lord Jesus in changing water into wine, is the same, the changing of death into life.
Wow. I always just talk to people. I didn't have that very, very serious, like the outline. He said, this is the first one. He said, first one. The second one is in the Galilee, right? Then you see the sea. From C starts with the first one. And the D, that also changes the food, you know. Just like Jesus did feed, you know. He feed the multitude. feed 4,000 people, 5,000. That's the D. E, he also changed the dead person become the living one. The widow was dead. You remember? That mentioned, that is the key word in here. Move with compassion. When the widow come out from the village, she was crying. The only begotten son was dead. Oh, talk about one time, Jesus, three times talking in the Gospel of Luke. One time, shepherd mentioned the father, move with compassion, and the brother mentioned the other one. Is this talk about in the Luke chapter 7. Jesus, move with compassion. Stop those funerary. He talked to people. Talk to the coffin and say, rise up! Amen. Wow. The widow get the son back. Wow, 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 wow. Amen. You won't call the... You see, that's the E. This is the resurrection, the dead from that. Amen. Okay, I don't want to take too much time. Seven times, you see. He just... You see, our outline is marvelous. Oh, wow. This is marvelous outline. Wow. The other one I said... G is the numbers. G is the fifth one. It's also talked. He Elisha causing an axe had the head fallen into the water to flow by the means of the wooden sticker, just like he put on the cross. Just did he put on the cross, and he used the cross. Amen. The Christ recovered those, recovered all the, his crossing, the resurrection, the lost power of the sinner that had fallen into the death water. Amen. Total is seven, brothers and sisters. This is very treacherous. Amen. And another seven is the Romans 3. That's a seven. I don't want to read. It's very good. Another, 7 points. Very good. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you all, but I remember when I was this is regarding day five. When I would read through the book of Acts, I would always wonder why there's like so many, like, you know, in the chapters like 1 through 26, there's like constant movement. Many things are happening. But then the last two chapters, it suddenly gets very, very detailed regarding the type of life and living that Paul was having in this seemingly like horrible situation, this shipwreck, then they're on the island, then he nearly gets killed, then he's healing all these different people. And I remember reading that actually that was included there to give us an account, a living picture. I think, as David mentioned, it's a reproduction of the same life that the Lord Jesus actually lived on the earth. And even when you consider like Philippians 1:20, 21, Galatians 2:20, Paul, he had a lot to say about this matter of expressing the Lord, living a life with the Lord. And I wondered, what does it look like to live, when he says, for me to live is Christ, or the life which I live in faith. What does that actually look like? And then we see, Paul didn't just speak these things. He actually lived this out in his living. And we can see this actually in Acts 27 and 28. And I was really impressed. There was a line that says, Paul's living was actually the expression of the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
I don't fully understand what that means, but I take our brother's word for it, because even later it says, as we read Luke's account of Paul's living, we see that his living was the all-inclusive spirit as the consummation of the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and God-exalted Christ. His living was the all-inclusive spirit. So sometimes, and this is kind of related to, I think, day one, or in the beginning, how many times when we, still my concept is, oh, we need to experience, enjoy the incarnated, crucified, resurrected Christ. We think that it's some super-duper powerful, like, prophet who does all these amazing miracles, like Elijah. But actually, according to God's Word, what it actually looks like is just a tender, sweet, full of grace, ministering life, caring for people, no anxiety when everyone around you is terrified and think they're going to die.
Amen.
And then even when I was impressed, like, he got bit by the serpent, and then the natives,
yeah,
they're like, oh, they changed their minds about him. They're like, oh, he must be like a demon or something because God's judging him. But then he just shook it off, and then they changed their mind. Oh, he must be a god. And then he starts healing everyone around there. I'm so impressed. This needs to get into my concept. This needs to become my realization. When I talk about living Christ, we have so many wonderful patterns and examples already given to us in the Bible, in the Lord Jesus himself. And maybe if we think, oh, it's the Lord Jesus, nobody can reach that. But no, Paul himself was also a reproduction of that living as well.
Amen.
So, anyways, I think, as we already mentioned, it's really a matter of this wonderful, divinely enriched humanity. It's not a matter of, not mere power, tongues, gifts, all these different things. It's really just a wonderful living.
Amen.
That this is what ultimately expresses the Lord.
Amen.
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 So the title of this particular message is about Elijah being a type of Christ, right? In the ministry of grace in life, and also that he behaved himself like Christ as the acting God, right? So basically, at the very end, our brother Ron was speaking in part three about being a reproduction of God, right, of Christ. So our life as a Christian boils down to becoming that reproduction of Christ, right? And everything in our lives is for that purpose, right? So if we stay the way that we are, God cannot accomplish his eternal purpose in us and in the church, because we remain natural, we remain the way we are. And here, our Lord, especially in the book of Luke, that we see God's compassion. It says here, and I'm really impressed by the fact that he says that he's a God of compassion, but compassion is a deep response of loving concern for someone in great need. It is a deep response of loving concern for someone in great need. Wow, and I just thought about that. You know, and then the brother asked the question, when was the last time that I was deeply moved with compassion for someone? And having compassion is not a natural characteristic. The genuine compassion is our Christ.
Amen.
The real Elisha being sweet and pleasant within us. And we see, you know, there are many stories here in this message. The prodigal son, how the father was moved with compassion over him, right? We see the woman who was a widow and her only son died, and he was moved with compassion for her and healed him. We see the Samaritan who was just laid out, beat up on the road, how he took care of him. We see how he compares Elisha with the Lord's miracle on changing death into life. But in all, what I'm really touched about, you know, that even he even compared with John the Baptist, you know, in Elisha was deceit. He had a disease, but the Lord didn't heal him. But he healed so many through him, right? Whoever touched him, right? Even after he died, right? Someone touched his bone, and he was, you know, enlivened. So that was the kind of man that he was. And even John the Baptist was put in a prison, and his head was chopped off. The Lord didn't do anything to heal or to take him out of the jail. So we see that. I mean, I even think that Samuel, his children, you know, were, it says that they were, they didn't follow in his footsteps, right? So it's a lot of learning and really contacting the Lord to really enjoy this compassion. But most of all, I really enjoy that we must first ask whether we, you know, whether we have experienced his compassions.
Right.
So that when we experience his compassions, they become ours. And we can have this compassion for others. And we can even sense without anyone telling us that someone has a deep need and a deep concern. And this is really precious. And there's a price to pay for having this. This is not something that we can just study in a book and or even have the knowledge. This takes some deep experiences of actually being in a deep need.
Amen.
And having the Lord be compassionate.
Amen.
To us. And that is the compassion that we can be compassionate to others with. Because eventually we all, you know, in Ephesians 4, he also talked about that Ephesians 4 would be fulfilled until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it says, until we all arrive. So we all have to arrive. And so that's why we need to take care of one another, being sensitive to each other. And even sometimes when we want to pass a judgment towards someone, that we all do, that we can see and be, turn that judgment into a compassion to see that something is going on. So recently someone said, preach the gospel, and if needed, speak. You know? And I thought about that. You know, it isn't what we say, it's who we are.
Amen.
It's what is within us that emanates from our being, like the Lord Jesus, like Elisha. He could be touched even dead. In his bones. He didn't say anything. He just was. And this is the reproduction of Christ. It's the God-man that he was. The humanity that he walked on the earth. And he said, come follow me. And they dropped everything and followed him. It was who he was. And this is the reproduction. And this is why we go through so many experiences and so many failures and so many situations. So that the life of, you know, so that we can be broken and the life of Christ can come out of those wounds, of those, you know, things that we have gone through.
Amen.
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 Maybe we could have some help on the piano because of time. Let me know when my time is up.
2 minutes?
Three.
Oh, 3 minutes.
Four. Yeah, 2.5. I was really touched this week to see that the Father's life is being reproduced and it's growing in all of us. Actually, the portion of the word that was mentioned, when the snake bit Paul, right, and then he shook it off. Actually, a lot of times. You can see a certain expression when you look at the response of someone who gets bit by a snake. I don't know if you understand that. Esther remembers the story. One time we were at a conference and we were in an elevator, and I forgot the reason, but there was some affliction that came two kids started melting down. And then I think we were very flustered. And then the elevator opens, and guess who walks into the elevator to be with our family? Brother Ron. By the Lord's mercy, I think, anyways, we didn't overreact. We were just, you know, we were just, anyways, we were exercised. There was a realization, right, that we go through a lot of things in life, right, and we ourselves, like our sister mentioned, we really need to be first comforted by the Lord. We need to go to Him. I was really touched by the verses in 2 Corinthians. I'll just read 1 and 2. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassions. I think it's striking, right? It says the Father of compassions, right? What is the source of compassion? It's our Father, who is the Father of compassions. And then in verse 4 it says, who comforts us in all our affliction, right? So we ourselves, right, when we have affliction, we go through many afflictions. I think every one of us, we have different kinds of afflictions. But what do? Are we the same as in the world to just complain, to try to, you know, get through it? Or do we bring ourselves to the Father of compassions and let Him comfort us to meet our need? But this is not to just for ourselves, because the verse continues, that we may be able to comfort those who are in every affliction.
Amen.
Through every comforting with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Right? And so when we pass through these afflictions, we are comforted by God. There's a certain supply. There's a certain ministry, which is the grace of life. And we then can, in return, comfort all those who are passing through such afflictions.
Amen.
I appreciated this term, the ministry of grace in life. Because when you look at the first part of the outline and you see all these accounts of Elisha and even the Lord Jesus, we could look at it and just consider it as miracles. But what the reading brought out is this was not mere miracles, but it was the miracles of grace in life. And I was touched by the verse in Romans that says, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So we see actually grace is just God Himself coming to us to do everything in us and to be everything for us. And as we enjoy this grace, actually day by day, there's an issue, and that issue is life. And what is this life? This life is the eternal life, which causes us to reign in life, to be co-kings with Christ. And the other verse that I appreciated this week was from 2 Corinthians. It says, He who firmly attaches us with you unto Christ is God. And so I just appreciated that word, firmly attached. So we have been firmly attached unto Christ. God has attached us to Christ, the Anointed One, and then He has given to us the anointing. And so we have the way to be one with Christ. We have the way to be the same as God in life and nature. And actually that's just through the anointing which is in us. He's given to us the Spirit as a pledge. So day by day, you know, as we pass through our environment, we can enjoy this ministry of grace in life, which issues in this reigning life. And I just appreciated every point. I said, you know, we're learning to be one with Christ. We're learning to be constituted with Christ so that we can express Christ. And then finally, so that we can move with Christ. And there was just one last point that I appreciated. It said that, you know, God desires to do something on the earth today. And for Him to do something, He needs to do it in us and through us. And anyways, I just realized that if I'm not one with Christ in the little things, you know, if I'm not breathing the Lord in the way that I interact with my children day by day, how am I able, when the Lord calls me to speak something of Christ to someone else, like, how can I do that? I can't. So I need to learn to remain in my mingled spirit, be one with Him, so that there's an overflow of life, so that when God calls us to move with Him, whether it means to just speak something of the Lord to one of our friends or coworkers or classmates, we would be able to move with him so that he would have a way on the earth.
Amen. 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 I think this week's message just gave us a another angle to bring us to God's economy.
Amen.
Right. So, you know, Elisha, I think just the title here, Elisha being a type of Christ in his ministry of grace in life and as a man of God, behaving himself as God's representative, as the acting God. Isn't that what God wants when he actually first created man, right? Genesis 1:26, right? He made man in his likeness and in his own image, and he wants the man to have the dominion over all things that he has created. So, actually in that, right, when God spoke of that, he has the heart desire to really to replicate himself, right, on the earth, so that man could becoming his representative on the earth, to really to, to be, you can say, to be the acting God, right? You know, actually the word acting God, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's a, we probably don't talk about it that often, but in fact there is a concept of acting God, right? Actually in the, this week, actually also it brought it out to us, right, through in Exodus. God actually spoke to Moses, right? I have made you God before Pharaoh, right? What does that mean? So Moses was representing God. He was the God that was in action, right, when he was speaking to Pharaoh. So Moses didn't speak, you know, anything out of himself, right? Anytime he goes to Pharaoh, he would actually inquire of God, what do you want me to say, right, to Pharaoh? Actually, he was pretty scared, right, you know, when you know, facing Pharaoh. But God, you know, made him as the acting God because, you know, at that time, Moses was trained to such a point that he was really one with God. So whenever he speak, he represent God, and he actually was the God in action. So in fact, today that is what God is actually doing, also, right? You know, saints mentioned earlier. You know, a lot of times we're in God places in certain environments. It's actually all these environments is actually to train us, right, to be more like Him. Actually, through the environment, God can really dispense His life into us, right, to make us open. You can see that in the, you know, the from the persons of Elijah and Elisha, right? Think about that time. The whole Israelite was actually, they don't know God, actually, right? They were actually idol worshipping, right? They were becoming, you know, worshipping Baal. So God, you know, raised up Elijah to bring these people back, just like, you know, the John the Baptist, right? Because that time also, they don't know God. But that was, God didn't stop there, right? Elijah made like these grandiose kind of a miracle, right? Causing the we all know the story. I'll just cut it short. But, you know, right after Elijah, right? Elisha didn't really, you kind of see like it made a turn, right? God didn't really raise up Elisha to like performing these like really strong kind of miracle. I mean, he did perform miracles, but all these miracles are really caring for people, just like Jesus, right? He really touched people. He really brought God's compassion to them. This is what really God wants, right? So really from this, we can see, actually, this is actually giving us this picture of New Testament economy, right? God really gained us, gained our heart, right? As we come to the table every week, we just got so touched, right? About, you know, how the Lord loves us. And, you know, and today God really also wants us to really gain us to be one with Him, to move with Him, and to His representative, to be the acting God, right? To really bring His kingdom to the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, I enjoy the same matter on day 4, where it shows us, like, when Moses was interacting with the Pharaoh, right? You know, it says in Exodus 7:1, and Jehovah said to Moses, "See, I've made you God to Pharaoh." And in the very last sentence of the whole passage, it says, "He was God's oracle and God's administration. As such, He was the acting God on earth." So, like, it really shows that, like, how Like, without, you know, man, God can't really operate on the earth. God needs a medium on the earth to operate, which is man, right?
Amen.
And this is a perfect example. And I feel like, because in our everyday living, I think, you know, it's like very easy for us to be in our default state, which is that, you know, we are in ourselves, right? Even like in a, when we're doing a simple thing or having a simple interaction with someone, you know, we could, by default, we're in ourselves. But, and even in serving the Lord sometimes, you know, we are in ourselves. We're serving through ourselves, but not through the Lord. But, you know, I think it's like important that, you know, in all things we do, we need to, you know, realize what it means to be a priest. And, you know, it says here, the main function of priests is not to work, but to spend time in the presence of the Lord. As priests, God's people live in God's presence, enjoying Him as their portion, even as He enjoys them as His treasure. So, yeah, it just shows that, like, how, you know, it's not the fact, it's not what we do for God, or, like, how much we do, but it's about, like, our, you know, whether we enjoy being in His presence and in intimate fellowship with the Lord. And from that, the Lord can saturate our entire being. And then we will, you know, we will know what's in the Lord's heart. And this is what we need to do, you know, in order to be saturated by Him and to really know what's in His heart and to really be the acting God in all the things and circumstances we are in.
Amen.
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 I appreciate that day three, as many saints already shared, based on, from the help of this business ministry, we see that actually, there are two types of gifts, right? One is the miraculous gifts, but actually, at this time, this is from day three. They said, according to the New Testament, miraculous gifts may have a place when the church is first raised up. But for the church to withstand decline or persecution, miraculous gifts or power are not very helpful. Only the internal life on which we are to lay hold is prevailing. By this life, we can withstand decline and persecution. I think deeply sense that we're actually in this time of the declining and the persecution, especially at this age, close to the end of the age, right? So I really appreciate the ministry bringing this up, that the life is prevailing. So you know, recently I heard there's a brother and there's an unbeliever ask a question: why does your God allow this that happen, right? The world situation. And that brother said, I don't know why God appeared to someone but not appeared to others. But the only thing I can do for you is pray for you. So that word, simple sentence, just struck me so much. Wow, God appeared to someone but not appeared to some others. We don't know why. But this is true, right? We're here because God appeared to us. So that in the last sentence of the Second Timothy, Paul's prayer to Timothy is, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. And I appreciate this verse so much because this is so true. All we need today, and the most important thing we need today, is the Lord's being with us and the grace, He Himself as the grace with us in all the situations, as Pastor shared. We don't know why God does not appear to some gospel friend, but what we need to do is pray for them. Pray this life will prevail to their situation so that they can overcome the outer thing and they no longer look into the miraculous things, but look into this life and really touch this life. Actually, I really noticed one very tiny detail from the Gospel of John. I don't know why John mentioned this. He mentioned this is the first sign. You know, the first sign when the Lord do this miracle, changing the water to the wine, he mentioned that. That's the first sign. And we know always, from the Bible, the principle is that the first thing set a principle. So yes. The first thing is change death to life.
Yes.
Amen.
Right? I don't know how many signs actually Lord did, or miracle Lord did, but for some reason John mentioned this is the first sign. So we should keep this in mind.
the principle is turn life to death.
Amen.
No matter
what. Like.
Sorry. Amen. Turn death to life. So we are not looking forward to our thing. We're just looking for this life.
Amen.
That's in this right. All situation, we need to pay attention to this life.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Actually, this is my first time ever, like, I didn't even realize Elisha existed, honestly, but I was reading through the outline, and I was really impressed by all of the miracles that Elisha performed, especially the one where he was dead, but he still managed to resurrect someone else. But, so I was reading a little bit of day one, and I was really touched that when Elijah came in to replace him, he did not perform wonders. Instead, Elisha did miracles of grace and life. Mm-hmm. And then I was really touched that that grace is God doing everything for us by giving Himself to us as our enjoyment. So it made me realize that we really need to enjoy God, like, because he wants to be our enjoyment, so that we can, like, have his life and, like, do, like, be, because these miracles are, like, God's, is Elijah as a type of Christ. So if we enjoy God as, if we enjoy God as our enjoyment, then we can also be a certain, like, type of Christ.
Amen.
God has a if we are in the Lord's recovery for a bit of time, we all know that God has an eternal purpose, its economy.
Amen.
This one is everlasting and never changing. But how far I'm from there, I just need to pray to the Lord. God is seeking for a people who leave Christ and who are one with Him.
Amen.
It's not a singular, not a one person, but such a people eventually become the church. And the church is a collective people who leave Christ and who are one with God. This is God's heart's desire. And whenever I remember this, whenever I see myself, the failures, the more I see there's no possibility to achieve this goal. But when I turn to the Lord, to look Him, to pray, to seek Him before Him, and I got encouraged because this is His promise. He must have this kind of people. He must gain this people, the church, to be one with Him and leave Him. How? You know, in Israel, in the Old Testament, there's a picture. The Israel people have to cooperate with the Lord in His move fully, you know, full coordination in day six, it says. But to go in order to take the good land. But if they look at themselves, they would have said, oh, well, there's no possibility.
Sure.
But their possibility was the unique God who needed His elect people to cooperate with Him. Today, how can we cooperate with Him? Like, every day there are many things happen in our daily living, in our you know, church life, in our, you know, coordinations with the saints. Like, last night, I had an experience. Like, I was very busy yesterday, and morning we have children's, toddlers and infant toddlers, a gathering. We have the lunchtime. We need to visit my dad. We have eat with him for a long time, and we came back, and then prepared the feast for last night. We were late, so I met a sister from other localities. I said, "Sorry, I'm late," you know, and this. I said, "Kind of busy," and she said, "Look at you, only you are the ones who are busy. I said, that time probably I'm looking for, I'm kind of, you know, comfort, you know, like caring. And I didn't expect anything, but I was shocked. I said, oh, Lord, I don't mean that you're not busy. But I stopped right there. I called the Lord, Lord, amen. So that time I'm in my own feeling emotions too. So when I call and muse, you know, before the Lord, I become quiet, I turn, I say, oh, we all need to enjoy the Lord
right.
to the, a certain degree so that we can overcome this kind of feeling. This kind of doesn't come before the Lord. We need to be one with the Lord. Depends on how fast we turn back to Him, how fast we obtain His word to nourish us, that moment, how quickly we turn. Amen. So how to achieve this? Just by being open, be ready to be dispensed by the Lord.
Amen.
That way, but not by myself, but by His mercy, and of course, all together, all the saints in the church as a whole, it's a people to be gained by the Lord as
amen.
His, amen, heart's desire.
We can all agree that this morning revival was very rich, and I really enjoyed how all the people mentioned this week were really dependent on the Lord. Elijah was compared to Moses, Samuel, and Paul, and they were all described as God's representative. Moses was described as God's ambassador when Moses faced Pharaoh, but only spoke what the Lord has told him to say. Samuel was described as God's oracle and God's administration, a man according to God's heart. And Paul was described as a man of God, the acting God in comforting the believers, and conducted himself in the simplicity of God, in expressing the jealousy of God, and in being an ambassador of Christ to carry out the ministry of reconciliation. And I really appreciate these examples because even though they all executed God's will in different ways, they were all very dependent on God, and they never acted upon anything that was independent from God. And their whole living and working were for the carrying out of whatever was in God's heart. And ultimately, their dependence on God shows that they were willing to work and cooperate with God. And being dependent on God really touched me, and this can be applied in my Christian life because I know in my natural man, it's very easy for me to be stubborn and apart from God and think that I can never fully cooperate and be dependent on God. But I found hope in the last verse of this, in 1 Timothy 1:16, which says, "But because of this, I was shown mercy, that in me, the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His long-suffering for a pattern to those who are to believe on Him unto eternal life." And this verse was spoken by Paul, someone that was against God. But because of being touched by the Lord's mercy, he eventually allowed the Lord to have His life in him. And eventually he became a pattern among the sinners, showing that sinners can be visited by God's mercy and saved by the Lord's grace. As someone who described himself as the greatest sinner, I think I have the potential to cooperate with the Lord. And we all have this hope, even though we don't feel like it all the time. As I reflect on my Christian life where I experienced little and big failures, it was the Lord's mercy that helped me return to Him and allow Him to work and manifest Himself in me again. So praise the Lord for all the patterns mentioned in this morning revival, and we all have this potential to cooperate with the Lord, even if we don't feel like it all the time.
Amen.
so I'll wrap up. Maybe we could read the title of this week again. You have it? Amen. Okay, ready? Elisha being a type of Christ in his ministry of grace and life, and as a man of God, behaving himself
as God's representative, as an acting God.
Amen. So I think in this title, we see really two things. The first thing is that Elisha was a type of Christ. And really, you see this in Luke chapter 4. It was the Lord Jesus himself who referred to himself as Elijah, as Elisha. And so at that point, the Lord came with the words of grace to God's people. And eventually, he faced some rejection. And right before he mentioned himself as Elisha, actually what they did was they were ready to throw him off of a hill. And so, but the Lord, his ministry on the earth, even though he faced many rejection, he still ministered according to grace. And he was this sweet and pleasant one. And so I think through reading this, this word, we need to know the Lord, know him, as the sweet and pleasant one. And we can know him as the sweet and pleasant one. And then as we begin to know him as the sweet and pleasant one, actually the Lord has a way to make us sweet and pleasant as well.
Amen.
I don't know if we've ever considered ourselves as ministers, but actually all of us have a ministry. And we need to fulfill our ministry. We need to, as we live, as we serve God, this is our ministry. And our ministry should be filled with words of grace and words of life. And there's so in our daily living, there's so many ways that we can be the proper expression of the Lord. Right? Like the point that David brought out in Luke 7. The Lord said that we should be full of compassion. Right? Be the sons of our Heavenly Father. But how? How can we be like this? I was touched in 2 Corinthians. We can reflect God. We can be like Christ as we behold him. Right. And so maybe this week, you know, I'm encouraging everyone to spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? That time with the Lord is so precious. Because in that time, the Lord has a way to work himself into us. Right, to dispense himself. Personally, I like to have about 3 times throughout the day where I just dedicate that time to God. The first one is when I wake up. And I hope, you know, we could all endeavor to also touch the Lord in the same way. But I just was really touched by that verse in 2 Corinthians that I can express God. I'm a man made in God's image, and I can express him. So I think this helps me in my expression of him to just come to him. Come to him just as I am. No matter what I'm facing in the morning, I just open my heart to him and I tell him, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I want to receive you right now. Whatever you have, just flow into me, dispense. And then the second time is in the afternoon where I just take just a few minutes. It could go from 15 to 20 minutes where I'm just there with the Lord again. As believers, we need to be in his presence. Right? And then the last time in the day that I endeavor is, and this point I need to really work on, is just to end the day off in Christ. Right? There's so many things that happen. However amount of time that we have, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we could end off in the Lord. And so in doing this and giving the Lord the cooperation like this, he can constitute us as the man of God. He can make us like Elisha, the ones who live him, who express him. And so there's a story in 2 Kings 4, actually, with a woman who would take Elisha in. And I was hoping we could read this verse, actually. If you all have it. This is 2 Kings 4, 8. You all ready? Amen. And one day Elisha was passing through Shunem, and there was a wealthy woman there. I'll have a meal. So whenever he passed through, he would turn aside and have a meal there. Verse 9 as well. And she said to her husband, "Now I know that this man who continually passes through is a holy man of God."
Amen.
So, I think by being with Elisha, there was a certain oppression left on this woman. She said, "This man who continually passes by is a holy man of God."
Amen.
Right? And so for us, you know, in our daily living, what kind of impressions are we living? Are we leaving? Right? What can people sense and smell about us when we interact with him? When we interact with the brothers and sisters, when we interact with the unbelievers who don't know Christ, right? What can they sense? What are they seeing? Right? And so it's very important as believers for us to have the proper impressions. But it comes through our spending time with the Lord. By being filled with him, the Lord can constitute us as the men of God.
Amen.
And I'll end off with this this last point. This is in Roman numeral 2.C2. It says the New Testament believers can be the same as Paul and functioning as the acting God.
Amen.
Right? This term acting God is very crucial. And so I just wanted to touch it a little bit. This would be different if we said that the New Testament believers can be the same as Paul and functioning as God acting, right? The Lord Jesus was the one who functioned as God. He was God, right? But to say that we function as the acting God, it actually means that we are God's representatives,
yes.
Right? We don't become an object of worship.
Right.
Right. We become God and his expression and his function. Right. But we don't become God as an object of worship.
Right.
And so as believers, we can be like Paul. Mm-hmm. We can shake off the stinks. Right? We can function. We can represent God in the proper way. They thought Paul was a God, as Jerry shared, right? And so, yeah. So how do we represent God, right? We were made to express God and to represent God. So how can we represent God? Really, it's by going through this process, right? In Roman numeral 3, of becoming one with God, constituted with God, living God, expressing God, and moving with God, right?
Amen.
And in this way, we can be the ones who represent God, who function as the acting God.
Amen.
Today is a very special day, I believe, in God's economy and what he's doing on the earth today. I was touched that today in Liverpool, in the UK, there are many saints who are taking the ground there and meeting just as we have met today.
Amen.
God is moving on the earth. The gospel is being preached. Many people are being gained for God's kingdom.
Amen.
But there had to be some who opened themselves to God, who gave their time, and even were willing to move, right? From all over the world. To go and be the Lord's testimony in Liverpool.
Amen.
And so for us, you know, it's the same, right? We can be God's representatives. We can express him. We can testify him in our daily living. And so whatever your work may be, whatever career you may be in, just remember this. You're a man of God.
Amen.
And you're one who can represent God.
Amen.
But you have to allow God to work in you, to get you to that point where you can bear His image. When people see you, they see God.
Amen.
Right? And you could even carry out His authority here on the earth.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We all like the prodigal son.
Amen.
Thank you. You forget our we have done before.
Amen.
Oh, you never know we are dirty and sin.
Amen.
Oh, you move by your compassion.
Amen.
We all like the widow son.
Amen.
We don't know how to love. We already dead.
Amen.
But it's you. Move by your compassion.
Amen.
You love us first.
Amen.
Oh, we all like the Jericho that person.
Amen.
Well, we already beat by the robbery.
Amen.
We already the broken.
Amen.
Oh, we only have died.
Amen.
But you like the person, good Samaritan.
Amen.
We don't like you.
Amen.
But you love us.
Amen.
You move by your compassion.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. You start love first.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Right. Thank you. You so loved us, Lord.
Amen.
You can give your life to us.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for your compassion towards us, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. May we be the open vessel.
Amen.
Always receiving your grace.
Amen.
Lord, to really, receive your dispensing every day.
Amen.
So we can be transformed. To the image of the firstborn.
Amen.
Really to be your representative.
Amen.
To be your instrument on the earth, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to bring back your kingdom.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord, thank you. We can be a vessel.
Amen.
To receive your dispensing.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we treasure the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, we also treasure the grace.
Amen.
Oh, we pray every day you will be with us.
Amen.
Oh, small things or big things.
Amen.
We always experience your presence.
Amen.
Oh, we will receive your grace.
Amen.
Oh, and we will be a God man.
Amen.
Oh, express you and magnify you.
Amen.
I praise you as the true Elisha.
Amen.
Thank you for coming to us in grace.
Amen.
For coming full of grace and reality.
Amen.
Lord, keep us in this dispensing.
Amen.
Thank you for this anointing.
Amen.
And you're sealing us.
Amen.
Day by day, cause us to be more one with you.
Amen.
More joined to you.
Amen.
We be those who properly represent you.
Amen.
Continue to gain what you're after, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.